We're going to look this morning at Exodus chapter 17. And the message that I'm going to preach this morning is a message that honestly I would prefer to preach at another church. I would feel more comfortable preaching it at another church than I would our own church. And you might understand why when we get into things. But again, as we've been studying our theme and learning how to stand, there are some passages of Scripture that we're a part of that, part of my studying. And the title of the message this morning is Stand By Your Man of God. Stand By Your Man of God. And you'll see some things in these stories that I think can help us and help our church and help our relationship. You know, God wants us to have a good relationship with one another. Do you know that? God wants you to get along with your pastor. God wants your pastor to love you and serve you and so on. But we're to stand together. And the title of the message, Stand By Your Man of God. Let's just read together and stand together for the scripture reading. First Exodus chapter 17 and verse number 8. Exodus chapter 17, and we'll look there to verse number 8. The Bible says, Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. In other words, the nation of Amalek, the nation of Israel, they fought in Rephidim. There was war. Verse 9 says, And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. That'd make me discomfortable too, wouldn't it? He discomfited them, and they were beaten. They were defeated as Moses' hands were held up. Let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we ask you please to speak to our hearts this morning. Would you make your word plain and clear to us, that we would understand it, help us to follow it in our lives. Spirit of God, help me to say what I ought to say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Here we have the Amalekites. I refer to them. The Amalekites were at war with the Israelites. And Moses sent Joshua and some of their men to fight against Amalek. And Moses went up to the top of the hill with Aaron and Hur to hold up the rod of God. Remember that God did great things when Moses held up that rod. When Moses, you remember, held the rod out over the Red Sea, what happened? The waters parted, and Israel passed on dry ground to escape from the Egyptian armies. And God wrought a great miracle that day. Moses was simply the one holding up the rod of God, but God did a miracle, parted the waters, and brought them safely across. When the people of Israel were thirsty, Moses smote the rock in Horeb, and water flowed out of the rock for the Israelites to have water to drink. There was significance every time Moses held up that rod, because each time God demonstrated his power in an awesome way. And now at this time, the Amalekites were come up to fight against the Israelites. And Moses, he goes up to the top of the mountain, he goes up to the top of the hill with Aaron and Hur. They were beside him, they stood with him. And the battle was being fought furiously, the battle was being fought hard all day long. And as long as Moses held up the rod of God, the Israelites were winning the battle of the Amalekites. But when Moses' arms and hands began to weaken and he began to lower the rod and drop the rod of God, then Amalek prevailed in battle. I think this would have been a significant weight to the rod, but even if it was not significant, you go and put your arm up and hold it up all day long. If you've never tried it, hey, you'll get pretty tired. You know, I know people can put their hands in a certain position with certain things, doing something at a computer or playing a video game or something. And you know what? After a while, their fingers and their arms maybe start to get a little tense. Well, here's Moses having to hold up that rod of God. And he became tired. and he became weary. And at times that rod would begin to lower a little bit, and then the Amalekites would begin to prevail in battle. And so Moses needed strength to hold it up and needed help to hold it up. Moses' arms were tired. He became weak. And Aaron and Hur stood by their man of God. They stood by Moses to help him when he was tired and weak. Again, notice what they did in verse 11. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he had let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. They stood on each side to help him. Brother Joel, can you help me? And let's see here. Brother Paul Griffith, can you maybe help me here? And I need you to be Moses, and I need you to be Aaron and Hur. I need you to hold up my arms, and
we'll show people what they did. We'll use this today. This is exactly the rod of God. Okay, we'll take it on base and all, okay? We've got base and all. Come up here on each side, if you would. And if you can picture it in your mind, here's Moses, and all day long, here is Moses trying to hold up the rod of God. And as long as Moses gets tired pretty quick, and as long as Moses was able to hold up the rod of God, then the Israelites were prevailing in battle. But you know what the Bible says? That Moses became very weary. Moses became very, very tired. And I'm sure glad Aaron and Hur were there standing beside him. Because the Bible says that as Moses' arms were becoming so weary and becoming tired throughout the day, he'd begin to let it drop. And the Amalekites would begin to prevail in battle. And so what Aaron and Hur did was they didn't hold up the rod, but they did stay up his arms. And they helped to hold up his arms and stay up his arms so that they could hold the rod of God up. You see, it wasn't even really Moses doing it by himself. He needed some men to stand by him, to stand beside him, and to help to hold up his arms and stay up his arms, is the word the Bible uses. And as they held up the rod of God, then the Israelites prevailed in battle. Thank you very much, guys. You understand? You see exactly what happened here in these verses? That's what it was like. I don't think it necessarily had a banner hanging from it, but it was the rod of God. And it needed some men to help Moses to stay up his hands, to hold up his hands. Can I let you in on a little secret about your man of God? He is just a man. He is just a man. Do you know the pastor is weak? He's a man. He is human. Some of you think, I don't know if he's human or not. Hey, he's human. And as a human, he's just simply a man, and your pastor becomes weak. Your pastor is flesh. He is not perfect. He is not God. And your pastor can become weak, just like Moses became weak and tired and weary that day. Your pastor can become weak in many ways. He can become weak physically, or weak emotionally, or weak spiritually even. He could become discouraged. He can get weary. The pastor can become weak and weary in holding up his arms in the battle. Because the pastor is just a man, he can become weak or discouraged or weary if he tries to bear too many burdens all alone. He can become weak or weary if he's laboring in the Lord's work alone. The pastor's wife or pastor's kids even can become discouraged if they too often have to stand alone or work alone without the encouragement or help of others. Do you know what a pastor needs, just like what Moses needed? The pastor needs some Aarons and Hurs to help hold up his hands. The man of God, the preacher, the pastor needs some men who will stand with him, just like Moses and Aaron and Hur stood with him here. Like Brother Joel and Brother Paul stood here with me and helped to stay up my arms. The man of God needs some men to stand with him and to stand beside him and to help to hold up his arms in the work of God. Let me share with you another story. Turn over to Numbers chapter number 11. Numbers chapter 11. And look there at verse number 10. Numbers chapter 11 and verse number 10. This is another story in the life of Moses. In Numbers 11 and verse 10 it says, "Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me?" We saw in the other story Moses in a time where he was becoming physically weary, where he did need some hands literally to hold up his arms and stay up his arms. But here we see Moses in another time where he is more emotionally weary. And he's being overcome because of some of the burdens that he has to carry and the burden of leading all these people and caring for them and so on. It says in verse 12, "Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them? That thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the sucking child, under the hand which thou swearest unto their fathers. Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight. And let me not see my wretchedness." Well, Moses is pretty low in the statement that he made there, isn't he? He's low. He's discouraged. He's weary. It says in verse 16, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee." You go find 70 strong men, and you bring them to the tabernacle of the congregation. Why? That they may stand there with thee. He says, "And I will come down and talk with thee there. And I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone." Again, listen, please. The pastor is just a man. He is called of God to serve God, and he's called to serve people. And he serves in a position where oftentimes there is a call to bear a lot of burdens. And that's okay. The pastor will gladly do so because, you know what? It's a great honor. It's a great privilege to serve the Lord God. It's a great privilege to be called and to be in the ministry. Any pastor would gladly do so. But let me share with you a few thoughts this morning and encourage you to stand by your man of God, or to stand by your preacher. Three simple thoughts this morning that I hope will encourage you and help us and help our church. Number one, stand with him to bear burdens. Stand with him to bear burdens. Stand with your pastor. Stand with your pastor to bear burdens. Be a giver. You know, there can be burdens, right? Church finances can become a burden. Be a giver. Make sure the church finances are strong. And make sure his family is cared for financially. Help in our situation, even if we had our own building, there'd still be lots of burdens, making sure a church is set up and making sure a church is cleaned and making sure that the property is maintained or the church vehicles are maintained. Make sure the pastor's wife and kids are cared for and be good to them. Care for the poor. Care for the widows. You'd be surprised at how often I get phone calls. Why? Because I've got the pastor's phone number. I got the church's phone number. You know what? It's very, very regular that people will call, and the poor will call, or someone will call, and they're calling, and they need money for something, or money for this, or money for that. And so much as a church, you long to help, and as a pastor, you long to help, and you help when you can help. Be the pastor who gets the phone calls for the family in town that somebody's lost their job, and can we get some food? Can you bring something? Can somebody do something? Can you pay our hydro bill? And we're behind, and so on. There can be lots of burdens in a ministry. The burdens of caring for the poor, the burdens of needing to care for the widows as we're to care for the widows and physically care for them and meet their needs and so on. Or caring for the needs of a church. We ought to stand. You ought to stand with the pastor, stand with your man of God to bear burdens. The burdens and responsibility of all these things should not fall to a pastor's shoulders alone. Others must stand with him and help to bear the burden. How can you stand with your man of God? Very simply, number one, stand with him to bear burdens. Number two, stand with him in the church. Stand with him in the Lord's work. Stand with him in the church. Stand with him in the Lord's work. Do you know that the ministry is a work? It's a work. But do you know we all are to work for the Lord? We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Ephesians 2:10 talks about that. The Bible also speaks of the job of a pastor and teachers and so on to edify the saints for the what? For the work of the ministry. We are all to have a part in the work of the ministry. There is a work and there is jobs for all of us to do. Labor with your man of God. Labor alongside of your pastor. Get involved and do what needs to be done and try to be an encouragement. Bring visitors to church. Get involved in the church. Get involved in ministries. Be willing to get involved and serve in any way you can. That's what I mean by stand with him in the church. Stand with him in the church and be an involved person. Stand with him in the Lord's work. Stand with him in the church. Hey, show the pastor that you truly support the work and that you even support him as the pastor. Join the church. Tithe and give and support the work of God. Be faithful to church. Do you know what an encouragement it is when people just faithfully attend a church? You know, it's more encouraging to preach to a face and to a body and to a person than to preach to an empty chair. And that may seem silly, but that of course, we're natural. We're human, right? We've got feelings. And when you're faithful to church, you're standing with the pastor. Be faithful and show up on time and even show up early for church. Let the pastor know that you appreciate his ministry of studying and preaching the Word of God to you. Stand with the pastor. Stand with him. I said, number one, stand with him to bear burdens. Number two, stand with him in the church or in the Lord's work. Get involved and be involved in the church and be faithful to church and so on. You never know how much that means to the pastor and how it can encourage him and help him in the work of God. To continue on, how can you stand with your man of God? How can you stand with your pastor? Three simple things. Number one, stand with him to bear burdens. Number two, stand with him in the church or in the Lord's work. And number three is stand with him to encourage him. Stand with him to encourage him. I want you to look at something here. We're going to pick something out of these passages of Scripture and see something else. Ask this question, and then we'll look at the verses. Would you rather be known as a complainer or as an encourager? You know, in these passages of Scripture we read, we see some people who became encouragers to their man of God. But if we read some of the verses before that, we see some people that all they were known for was being complainers. They were always complaining to Moses about something. Look at the contrast here. Numbers chapter 11 and verse, go back to verse 1. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, and when the people, what? Complained. And when the people complained, it displeased who? The Lord. It displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the outermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. He called the name of the Lord Tabera because of the fires of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? God had been giving them flesh to eat all along. But now they started to complain about it. Look, notice this. We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely. The cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. They start to think back to Egypt. Oh, we remember all those things that we had down there in Egypt. How silly they're being. When they were in Egypt, they were in bondage. When they were in Egypt, they were in slavery to the Egyptians. The God, their God, who loved them, brought them out of that bondage in Egypt, helped them to escape from the Egyptian armies across the Red Sea, was bringing them across the wilderness. And yes, he wasn't giving them fish and cucumbers and garlic and onions and all those things, but he was providing them with manna every day to feed them. He had always met their need. He had always fed them. God had been good to them. But now in verse 6, as they're complaining, it says, but now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. They were complaining about the manna. It's like having Thanksgiving dinner and maybe you had too much and you have leftover Thanksgiving dinner again on Tuesday and Thursday and again the following Sunday. And you know what people might start to do? Oh, Thanksgiving dinner again. Is that not a contradiction? Oh, Thanksgiving dinner. Hey, yes, it ought to be a giving thanks dinner. Amen. Here are the people of Israel. They were so silly. They were complaining and complaining. Oh, manna again. Manna again. God's feeding us manna again today and so on. Verse 7, and the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof is the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp as in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. And Moses also was displeased. Here we see a group of people that were just, they were just complainers. And it displeased the Lord, and it displeased, and honestly, it discouraged Moses, I think. And we see that in the other verses we read. God's displeased, Moses is discouraged, because here's a bunch of people that all they are is complainers. They complain. Why manna again? Oh, why this again? Oh, you know what? Think about it. Wouldn't it be very easy for us to become complainers? Oh, why this again? The same thing again? Oh, same message again? Same church building? Isn't that what's wrong with that pastor? Isn't he ever going to give us our own church building? What's wrong with him? Same music, same this, same everything. And people can so easily find things to complain about if they want to. But here we see some people that were known as complainers. But look at the contrast down to verse 16. The Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burdens of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Here is a group of men that were going to be encouragers to Moses. Encouragers to their man of God. Again, which would you rather be known as? A complainer or an encourager? An encourager. Go back to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. I want you to see something as well back in that chapter, beginning there in verse 1. Exodus 17, verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses. They were nagging, complaining, you know, being very upset with him. They were continually chiding with him, wanting to fuss at him and argue with him almost and complain towards him. They said, give us water that we may drink. Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. They be almost ready to stone me. Those were strong words. Obviously, the people were upset. They were chiding with Moses to the point that he thinks, I think some of these people, they'd rather be rid of me. They'd rather I be gone. They would rather stone me or maybe even put me to death. Moses was growing weary because here was a group of men or a group of people that they were just busy complaining and fussing at Moses all the time. Go down to verse 10. And we see the great contrast. We see those men that were known as complainers. They were discouragers. But then in verse 10 is where we see some encouragers. How about Joshua? What an encourager he was to Moses. Willing to go to battle, willing to stand. Joshua was the servant of Moses, we know that. But he was also a great general and he led some men there to battle against Amalek. There was also Aaron and Hur. The Bible says they went up to the top of the hill. They went with him. It says in verse 11, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed.
Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Moses and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Listen, which group would you rather be in? Would you rather be a part of the complainers, or would you rather be a part of the encouragers? Which group would you rather be in? The ones who discouraged Moses, or the ones who encouraged and helped their man of God? I said this morning, how can you stand by your man of God, or how can you stand with your man of God? Number one, stand with him to bear burdens. He carries a lot of burdens in that position that he has as a pastor. Number two, stand with him in the church, in the Lord's work. Be involved in the work. Be faithful to the work. Be faithful to church. And number three, stand with him to encourage him. Stand with him to encourage him. I want to show you an example in the New Testament. And I want you to look at this with me. Look to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians 16. I hope you'll take home these three simple thoughts and be helped by them. Stand with your pastor to bear burden. Stand with your pastor in the church and in the Lord's work. And stand with him to encourage him. To encourage him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, look at verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 15. The Bible says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. In other words, they were obviously one of the first households or one of the first families to get saved and get baptized and begin to live for the Lord. And it says, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Boy, that's a good addiction if I ever heard one. They were addicted to the ministry. They were addicted to serving God. They were addicted to serving others and serving people. I think of them as ones that were faithful in the Lord's work and faithful in the church and faithful to the ministry and trying to do what they could. Verse 16 says that ye submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and for Tunitus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit. For they have refreshed my spirit. Isn't that an interesting way the Bible puts it? An awesome way. They've refreshed me. They've refreshed my spirit. They were such encouragers. They stood with Paul in the church. They stood with him in the work of God. They addicted themselves to the work of the ministry. They refreshed the man of God. They were a great encouragement to him. When I think of the house of Stephanas and so on, I think of my parents. I have a very godly heritage, and I'm so thankful and faithful ancestry of parents and grandparents that loved the Lord, and they addicted themselves to the ministry, and they were faithful in their church and involved in their church. My grandparents were like that and involved in so many ways, but my parents also. As some of you know, my dad passed away when I was 8 years old. He was killed in a farm accident, and that obviously changed our lives dramatically. But I had a faithful mom and dad, older brothers and sisters and so on. My oldest sisters are 12 and 13 years older than me. But from the time that I was born, our family began attending Heritage Baptist Church in Barrie, Ontario. A new church that was started just 3 months before I was born. And my parents became involved in that church and became faithful and joined that church and supported that church and served in the church and became involved as Sunday school teachers and soul winners and involved in their bus ministry. And my dad became a deacon, and my dad was their kind of supervisor or contractor, almost, if you will, for when they built their first church building there on Arda Road, that building there. And just so involved. They were an encouragement. My family was simple farmers from out in the country, but people that loved the Lord. My dad and mom would teach Sunday school, and I've told you before of how the church grew and grew rapidly and incredibly. But for the third anniversary of the church, my mom visited 40 hours during that week before. And of course, it was something to maintain. She worked in a bus route and visited every week. But on the week before the church's third anniversary, they were trying to push and have a big day and have as many people come as possible. And my mom just visited every day, all day long, going throughout Oro Township and some of the north parts of Barrie there and visiting people and trying to get people to ride the bus and people to come to church. And that Sunday, my parents, with the help of others, they had brought three big school buses that day and picked up people all the way from our farm, all the way into church, and others drove into church, and my mom and dad were responsible for 259 people riding the bus to church on one Sunday. And after church that day, all those people came back to our home and all the kids and so on. There was a barbecue and things outside on the farm. And my mom prepared a roast beef dinner, the full things and pies and everything for 90 adults. 90 adults. And that is a deal right there. And listen, my parents were encouragers. Encouragers. God certainly used Pastor Pennell in a mighty way to start that church and to see the church grow. But you know what helps a pastor to go on like that? You know what helps a pastor to keep on preaching and keep on going and keep on praying and keep on working? When there were some people like my mom and dad that stood with their pastor and stood with him and stood beside him to help lift up his hands and help to be involved in the work of God and to be faithful to the church and involved in the church. And in so many ways they did that. There are people all over the place that were led to Christ by my mom or by my dad that are in places all over nowadays. People that were encouraged. Pastor Crow, who some of you know him, he's on his ride for missions right now. And some of you would know him through different ways. Maybe you've heard him preach at our church, or some of you have your kids. You've had your kids in Richmond Hill Christian Academy. And he's sometimes spoke there now, and that school has helped him with raising money for orphanages around the world. Pastor and Mrs. Crow told my mom a number of years back that when they first visited Heritage Baptist Church, the reason why they came back was because my mom was there that day. And she had some flowers there in the foyer of the church. And I remember what it was specifically. I have the memory. Beside our house, we had the type of flowers called peonies, these really big pink flowers or purplish flowers, pink, I think. And my mom would just cut those down when they were all ready and ready to bloom and so on. And she'd bring those all to church. And she had her buckets of flowers there, and she was just passing them out to anybody she thought that she could try to encourage that day. And Pastor and Mrs. Crow told my mom that that's the reason why we came back. Not because of the preacher. We came back because somebody encouraged us and gave us a flower and somebody showed some care and love for us. Listen, you're standing with your pastor, standing with a man of God is so important. You can be an encouragement to him. And that's what the house of Stephanus was like. They were encouragers. They were encouragers to the Apostle Paul. Turn with me to one last verse and we'll be finished. Just over a little bit to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll finish here. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 15. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 15. The Bible says there, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." There was a lot of people that were turning away from Paul, didn't like his message, didn't like things, and there was some that get mentioned here. I'm not sure why they in particular were mentioned, but obviously they were some that perhaps were big troublemakers for Paul or greatly opposed him or stood against him. I think that's fair to say. Because there was many that turned away, but these ones obviously stood against him. And then notice verse 16. "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me." For he oft refreshed me. What a contrast we see just in those two verses. Two men mentioned as those who would not stand with Paul. And one man mentioned who stood with the man of God, who stood with the Apostle Paul. What type of man would you rather be? What type of person would you rather be? How can you stand by your man of God? How can you stand with your man of God? Stand with him to bear burdens. There are burdens that he may have to carry that sometimes there are burdens that he's going to have to carry alone. There are burdens that a pastor has to carry, and maybe nobody can know about it or it's things. But there are burdens that sometimes a pastor carries a load of that he wasn't meant to carry alone. There are burdens that are to be shared by everyone. There's the care for the church, the care for finances, the care for his family, the care for things that really is to be the responsibility of all. Stand with him to bear burdens. Stand with him in the church. Stand with him in the Lord's work. Be faithful. Join a church. Support a church. Join the Lord's work and get involved in ministries. And stand with him in the church. Stand with him in the Lord's work. And then lastly, stand with him to encourage him. Don't be a discourager. Be known as an encourager. An encourager.